Much good to see you tonight, and glad that you come to hear God's word, and trust that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts tonight. All right, well, let's open our Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Peter tonight. The book of 2 Peter in your Bible, if you will, please. 2 Peter, and we're going to look at 2 Peter and chapter number 3. In your Bible, if you will. 2 Peter chapter 3 in your Bible. And we're going to read verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse number 18, please, in your Bible. And here's what God's Word says. But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and ever. All right, let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Speak to our hearts from it. Lord, I pray that your word would penetrate. I pray the Holy Spirit would enable us to do what needs to be done, Lord, in this service. And I pray that you would just save that soul that may be without Christ. That person thinks they're saved, they're really not. I pray you might save them. I pray, dear Lord, you just help us that we might have a revival that is so important in our lives. And we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, growing is a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's a beautiful thing to see things grow. You know, the trees start growing and budding and flowers start growing. I'm wondering if that's ever going to happen again. But I believe it will. And it's always a happy time. I know my son-in-law is really looking forward to that growing time. And so, you know, we all are, aren't we? It's a wonderful time of the year when things start to grow. Spring comes and dead things come alive. And it's just a beautiful, wonderful thing. But, you know, it's a sad thing when things don't grow that are supposed to grow. You know, it's really sad when that takes place. It really is. You know, if I never forget when we first had our first child, Mark, and many of you know who he is. And, you know, when he was born, we were down in Harlan, Iowa. And I'll never forget when we brought him to the church service, how everybody just goo-goo-eyed him and just were so, thinking he's so cute. And they just wanted to hold him. And they were just thrilled, you know. I mean, that was the first child. And they're always thrilled for that first child, you know. And so everybody was really, really excited about it. But you know, Mark is 46 years old now. And you know, if I was to have him come to the service tomorrow night, just had a pair of diapers on. And, you know, I mean, he still didn't have any hair in his head, you know, like he was when we took him to that church the first time. You know, I don't think there'd be one of you would come up, oh, isn't he so cute, you know. Look at that bald head. I've never seen a 46-year-old bald head boy, you know. And we're still wearing diapers, you know. I don't think you'd be ooing and excited about that at all. You'd probably be very sad, wouldn't you? You'd be very sad and say, isn't that too bad? Isn't that too bad? Here's Brother Gilmore's 46-year-old son. And you know what? He is still in diapers. You know, he can't talk, and all he can do is slobber all over himself, you know, and you'd be really, really sad, wouldn't you? You surely would. I'd be sad, too. I really would be, too. Now, you know what? I want you to see this matter of growing can be very, very glad or it can be very, very sad. And I wonder tonight, which is it for you? Is it glad or is it sad? I want you to take a look tonight and see if you're growing spiritually. That's what we're going to talk about tonight primarily. Not growing physically, but growing spiritually. That's a growth that we all need in our life. In fact, we need a revival of growing. That's what we really do. We need a revival of growing. You know, churches don't grow when people don't grow. The reason why churches stop growing is people stop growing. And so we need a revival of growing in our lives spiritually. I want you to look into the mirror of God's Word tonight and see if you're growing. You know, the Bible is a mirror. You know, you go to the mirror and you look at that mirror and it tells you how you really look, you know. And boy, praise the Lord for mirrors. Amen. I tell you what, it'd be kind of embarrassing sometimes if it wasn't for a mirror, right? And you'd see, as you look at that mirror, something that's not right, and you correct it before you go out in public. You know, mirrors are a great blessing. And I want you to look into the mirror of God's Word and see tonight if you are growing spiritually. Whether you're growing spiritually. First of all, there are five relationships that we're going to see that you can have that the Bible shows us through looking in the mirror of God's Word. There are five relationships of spiritual growing that we can have. And these relationships very well are present in this building tonight. Five spiritual relationships, or five relationships to spiritual growing that you and I can have. Note them with me. First of all, the first relationship to spiritual growing is being able to grow spiritually. Being able to grow spiritually, see. Now, to be able to grow spiritually, there's an event that must have taken place in your life. And that event is a time and place in your life when you have received Jesus Christ, your Savior. If you've never had that time and place in your life, you can never grow spiritually. There'll never be any growing spiritually at all in your life. And I'll show you very very clearly why that soul, if you've never received the Lord, why there's never going to be any spiritual growth in your life whatsoever. Because when you have that time and place, when you accept the Lord, receive the Lord as your personal Savior, three wonderful things God does, three wonderful things. And God must do these wonderful things in your life if you are going to be able to grow spiritually. First of all, the first thing God does is He gives you life. He gives you life. You know, there can be no growth physically if you're not alive. Physically. You can't grow unless you're alive physically. There can be no growth spiritually unless you are alive spiritually. That's what takes place when you get saved. God breathes into your soul the breath of spiritual life and you become alive unto God. In 2 Peter and chapter number 1 and verse number 3, the Bible says there that when we get saved, when we receive the Lord as our Savior, we get spiritual. Life. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. The Bible says, according as His divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life. Say, the Lord makes you alive spiritually to godliness and to the things of God. To those things, the Spirit of God makes you alive. And so you need to have that time to be able to grow when you have received the Lord as your Savior, because the Lord gives life. You need life. Spiritual life imparted to you to be able to grow. Just like you have to have physical life in your body for that body to grow. Dead bodies don't grow. And you physically. And the same thing is true. Souls don't grow spiritually unless they have spiritual life. You are a body and you're a soul. And to grow spiritually, it's talking about your soul growing spiritually. And that's soul neglect today. People are leaving that out of their life. Their soul growing spiritually, you know. And so if you have received the Lord, God did this for you. He gave you life. Secondly, God gave you food. He gave you food. The Bible says there in verse 3 of 2 Peter chapter 1 that He gives us the food of His Word, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. All right? So you have the food that's necessary to grow. You can't grow physically without food, physical food. And you cannot grow spiritually without spiritual food. And what's the spiritual food that God has given to us to grow? It's the Word of God right here. That's how we grow. Through the Word of God, the Bible, the Word of God. That's how we grow spiritually. And we get the Bible into our life by reading it. Say, you read the Word of God. That's how you grow. You spend time in the Word of God. And you take this food into your soul, the Word of God. You cannot grow spiritually neglecting the Word of God. You can't do it. Say, and then secondly, it's not only reading the Word of God, but it's hearing the Word of God. that's coming to a local church and hearing the Bible preached. That's how you grow spiritually, see, through the food of the Word of God. You take the food of the Word of God in your soul. That's what God does for you when you get saved. He gives you life, and then He gives you His food, the Word of God, the reading of it, and the hearing of it. And the third thing God does is He gives you an appetite for the food. An appetite for this food, the Word of God, see. The Bible says He gives you a divine nature. In verse number 3, it says, according as His divine power hath given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, that through Him, we might be called unto a virtue and glory. And then verse 4, it says that by these you might be the partakers of the divine nature. Say, and so we have this appetite that is given to us. God gives us an appetite, that nature that desires the food. I was in Montana a number of years ago, and it was a small church. And there was only one teenage boy in the whole services. I mean, he was the only, I felt sorry for him. He was the only young person there. One night after service, he came up to me. He said, Brother Gilmore, he said, could I take you out to lunch? You know, I was blown away. I'd never had a teenager ask me to go out to lunch with him, you know. I mean, that was the first time that ever happened. It's happened one other time since, but that was the first time it ever happened. I mean, most teenagers want to stay as far away from the evangelist as they possibly can. You know, and but this guy, he wanted to take me out to lunch. Of course, you know where he wanted to take me, the pizza place. Amen. I mean, that's what young people love, pizza. And so they have a great pizza place there in Montana, and healthy pizza, pretty good pizza. And we went to that pizza place. You know, if you can believe, pizza can be healthy. You know what I mean? But it is. This place had whole grain, you know, crust and everything else. We went there, and I was just enjoying talking to this young man. And then after we got through, I said, young man, I really appreciate you doing this. I really do. And you know what? Let me ask you something. Why did you want to take me out for pizza? And he looked at me, and all of a sudden his face really got serious and sober. And he said, Brother Gilmore, he said, I just don't know whether I'm saved or not. And I said, what makes you think that? He said, I have no desire to read the Word of God. I have no desire to hear God's Word at all. I'm only here because, I have to come. He said, preacher, I just don't think I'm saved. And you know what? He was really right on. I mean, he's really right on, because when you get saved, you get an appetite. God does that. It's not something you have to work up. God puts it inside of you. Say, He puts that divine nature inside. He gives you an appetite for the Word of God. And you know, I said, young man, I said, I think you're really right on here. I think you probably aren't. Do you know what? That young man got saved. And you know what? He got an appetite for the Word of God. I mean, he was working and he took the week off for camp. We were going to have camp about 2 weeks from then. And he took the week off work so he could come to camp to hear the Word of God. See, what happened? He got in the place where he's able to grow because he got an appetite for the Word of God. How about you? Do you have that relationship of being able to grow because you have God's life in your soul? Your soul that once was dead in trespasses and sin has been made alive unto God. And you have the food of the Word of God, the Bible, and the local church. And you know what? You have that appetite to be able to grow spiritually. No excuse for not growing spiritually if you're saved. No excuse whatsoever. I mean, you can grow spiritually if you are saved. You know, you can conquer sin if you're saved. You don't have to live in defeat. And you don't have to be a spiritual pygmy and just be a little baby running around, you know, spiritually. And not growing and being a strong, mature, godly Christian, because you're genuinely saved. All right, the second relationship to growing that we can have is, and that people have today spiritually, they have the relationship of not growing. Now, these are people who are saved. They've received the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. Oh, they've had that divine time in their life where they have come to the Lord and been saved, but they're not growing. Why is that? They're not taking steps of spiritual growth. See, after you get saved, you need to take steps of spiritual growth in your life. You know, babies are great, but oh, I tell you something, it sure is fun to see them grow up. Amen. Oh, I tell you something, I'm glad that my boys have grown up. I'm glad my kids have grown up. You know, it was wonderful having those babies. But babies are to grow. And when you get saved, you're a spiritual babe. And God doesn't want you to stay a spiritual babe. He wants you to grow up and become strong and mature. But the sad thing is, there are many people who have been saved and they're able to grow, but they're not growing. Why? Because they are not taking steps of growth. You see, God wants you to go on after you're saved. Getting saved isn't the end. Receive the Lord, that's the beginning. God wants you to go on. You see, the Lord wants you to know His will and His plan. God's got a plan for your life. God's got a will for your life. And if you stay a spiritual babe and you don't go on and take steps of spiritual growth, you're never going to know God's plan. You know, you think for one minute that the Lord God of heaven, who invested all that He invested in the salvation of your soul, I mean, the tremendous investment of God in this salvation that you have and I have through Christ. You know, I mean, He gave the prophets and He gave, Word of God and He planned it all and He prepared it all, this wonderful, glorious salvation. I mean, Jesus Christ went to the cross and He went through all the brutal treatment at the cross to purchase this great plan of salvation that He purchased that cross of Calvary. Do you think for one moment that after what all God done and what all the Lord Jesus Christ did in preparing and providing this salvation that you have received now that you're saved, do you think for one moment after you get saved, Lord's going to say, well, glad you're saved, see you later. You know, I'll meet you in heaven someday, just go on and do what you want to do. I'll see you later. Do you think that that is what the God of heaven is desiring to do now that you're saved? No, my friend, God has a beautiful plan for your life. God has a wonderful plan and He's got a purpose for your life and He wants you to know that purpose and plan, but you can't know it if you're not in the will of God. And you know what? To be in the will of God, it means taking steps of spiritual growth in your life. Without taking those steps of spiritual growth, you'll never know God's perfect plan and God's will for your life. You'll never know it. He wants you to take those steps of spiritual growth in your life. You know, for 2 years of my life, I got saved when I was 6 years old. But 2 years of my life, I didn't start reading my Bible right away. And, you know, you can't grow. That's the food. You know, I mean, I was just a weakling spiritually. I mean, I wasn't eating. I mean, you don't eat physically. You get weak. You can't witness. I mean, you know, when you're not eating physically, I mean, you can't get out there and run a 100-yard dash. I mean, you can't get out there and play football or I mean, you don't have the strength to do it because you're not feeding your body. You know, and I wasn't feeding my soul spiritually. I was weak. I tell you what, I never witnessed. I never gave out the gospel to hardly anybody. You know, I mean, I didn't do much praying. I mean, I was just weak. I was in the Word of God, you know. I tell you what, one of the reasons why so many people are going into the new type of contemporary type of church is because they're not in the Bible. They're not reading the Bible. They're not getting the strength and the discernment to see right from wrong. I mean, sucked into this contemporary business because they're not in the Word of God. And, you know, I mean, I was just so weak. I wasn't reading my, and I wasn't hearing Bible preaching. I wasn't. I was going to church, but it wasn't a good Bible preaching church where there's strong preaching against sin. You know, I wasn't there. You can't grow where there's not strong preaching against sin. That's why you ought to love this church. The strong preaching against sin. I mean, it's just not playing games. We're here for business. We're here for serious. We want to grow. We want to do what God wants you to do. We want you to, and your pastor wants you to know the perfect, wonderful plan of God's will for your home and your marriage and your life. That's why he preaches against sin. And boy, that's how you grow. I didn't have that for 2 years. I was a zero. Man, I wasn't even a zero, man. I tell you, zero's got a ring. I didn't have a ring. I was nothing. I was nothing for 2 years of my life spiritually. You see, Dear friend, listen. Getting saved is what God does for you. Growing is choices you make for God. Choices you make for God. It involves your choices. God's done all he can to enable you to grow. He's given you his word. He's given you his spirit. He's given you a local church. He's given you his Bible. He's done all he can to enable you to grow. And you know what? It takes choices on your part to grow. God's done his part. Will you do your part? And the reason why so many people aren't growing is they're not making those choices for spiritual growth. I mean, I was just floating. Spiritual, I was a floater. I was a zero for the Lord. You know? I never forget when I saw my son take his first step. My boy, Mark, he'd take his first step, you know. I was a pastor, so I was in Pennsylvania, and all of a sudden I got this phone call, and my wife's on the end there, and she's, honey, come home, quick, come home. I thought maybe the house is on fire, you know. And I thought, well, maybe something's trying to break in or something like that. And so, man, I dropped everything and I ran over the house. You know, we lived just about two blocks from the church. And I went over there and I said, honey, what's the problem? What's the problem? And she says, I think Mark's about ready to take his first step. I said, oh, man, that is great. You know, I'm glad you called me, told me about that. And I never get sitting there in that couch and Mark's over there. My wife's got him and I say, come on to daddy. And I'll never forget him taking that first step. Oh, how thrilling that was. And then that next one, who? And then that one following that. And oh, what a blessing it was, oh dad, to know that he had a son that could walk. I tell you what a thrill. Do you know, I'll tell you something, it sure is a blessing when his children who are saved take spiritual steps of growth. Take spiritual steps of growth. You know, I like to say, oh, I'm going to get baptized. I'm going to go down under the water, come up. I'm going to join a good Bible-believing, soul-winning, devil-hating, sin-despising church. I'm going to get in that church. I'm going to take steps of growth in my life. I'm going to take the step to read my Bible every day. I'm going to take the step of growth to start tithing my income to the Lord and to his local church. I'm going to take that step of growth to deal with sin in my life and throw some stuff out of my life that isn't encouraging me to go on for God. There are things that are holding me back spiritually. I'm going to get rid of them. Bible says, Ecclesiastes 5:20, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, the hearts of the sons of men are fully set in them to do evil. Oh, how good it is when Christians learn that you don't deal with sin during a revival meeting. That's the only time you deal with it when a moment is in your life. The moment of thought, the moment of word, the moment something comes in, you deal with it right then and there. And you learn how to deal with sin and you get sin out of your life and you take steps of spiritual growth and you surrender all. Boy, what a step that is when you say, okay, Lord, here I give it all to you. I surrender. You know, a lot of people are familiar with the Romans Road. But you know, Romans Road doesn't stop with Romans 10:13, whosoever is called upon the name of the Lord. You know, the Romans Road stops at Romans 12:1-2. And many, many Christians never get to Romans 12:1-2 where they simply say, Lord, here's my life. I surrender it all to you. What a step of growth that is. You know, that's the hardest step. You know, it's almost harder to take that step than to get saved. I think it probably is. Because you know what? Getting saved is receiving. Surrendering is giving. Giving to the Lord. I think he's worthy of my life. I don't know about you. I think he's worthy of my all. And you know, so many Christians have never really surrendered all to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and said, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. Those steps of growth. See, those are steps of growing in the Lord. And that's why a lot of people are not growing, because they are leaving steps of growth out of their life. They're not taking steps of growth. Are there steps you need to take tonight of growing? Are there some steps of growing that you need to take tonight? There's another relationship to growing spiritually that we can have. And if we ever need a revival of growing, it's today in God's people's lives. There's so many immature Christians. There's so many Christians that are not growing, not taking steps of growth. You know, and that is the third kind of relationship to growing that you can have is the growing that has stopped. Growing that has stopped. Now, these are people who, you know, they got saved and they took steps of faith. They were taking steps of faith and taking steps of growth in their life. But then it stopped. It stopped for some reason. They stopped taking those steps of growth. You know why? Because they stopped being diligent to grow. Notice, if you will, in the Bible says in 2 Peter and chapter number 1, it says in verse number 5, besides this, giving all diligence to grow. Oh, you know, I remember one time, I like to walk. I am walking outside much this type of weather. We've had to go and walk, and my wife and I, in some places where I don't like to walk. You know, the mall, and I tell you what, you got to walk with blinders on. And I just get a hold of my wife, and she kind of leads me around, you know. She says, honey, keep your eyes closed, you know. And I'll tell you something, but we need to walk. She needs to walk. She has back struggles from time to time. And, you know, one day I was out walking. It was in the spring. Oh, it was a beautiful spring day. And I like to see the trees. I love trees. I love to look at trees. And I just look at this one tree as I'm walking along this road. And it's beautiful. I mean, it's sprouting the green leaves. And there's birds. I love to see birds in the trees. And, you know, they're making their nests. And they're singing their sweet songs. And I love to see that. And what a beautiful tree it was. Beautiful day. And then I just turned as I'm walking. And I saw this ugly looking what I guess used to be a tree. You know, it just had broken branches. And there were no leaves on it. You know. And there was no birds sitting on those, you know, making their nests. I wouldn't make my nest in a tree like that, would you? You know, I mean, what's desirable about a tree like that? It was just very undesirable. It was a tree that you'd do a favor, you cut it down, you know, because it was ugly. Listen, Christians that have stopped growing are ugly. They become ugly. All of a sudden they get sourpussed. All of a sudden they come to church and you know, they got this growlish look on their face. And you know, they don't pick up a songbook. They hardly ever sing. And you know what? They're out the door. They're just ugly. When Christians stop growing, there's probably nobody more uglier in the face of God's earth than a Christian stop growing. I believe lost people can be a lot more, in many ways, be a lot easier to be around than a Christian who stopped growing in the Lord. Many Christians have stopped growing in the Lord. Why do people stop growing in the Lord? They stop giving all diligence to spiritual growing. They stop giving all diligence to it. They get lazy. Get lazy about reading their Bible. Get lazy about coming to church. They get distracted. They get distracted from serving the Lord, being involved in the ministry. You know, you are in the ministry if you're saved. You know, I don't like this idea of full-time ministry. That word, full-time ministry. Listen, you're saved, you're in full-time ministry. Just as much as I'm full-time ministry. Only difference between you and me is that I am supported to pay my bills by God's people. And that's how I pay my bills. And you've got a job secularly to support and pay your bills, but you're just as much in the ministry as I am. And you know, the sad thing is, many Christians are sitting on their hands, they're sitting on their duff, and they're not involved in ministry. God has a ministry for you. It may be to be a greeter. It may be to be an usher. God has a ministry for you, and it's an important ministry. Hey, if the Lord was to ever lead you out of this area, you know, the first thing that you ought to find out is, do they have a good Bible-believing church where you're going to go to? You know, and if they don't, God's not in it. God's not in that move. Because you need a place of ministry in the local church. And if you don't have a church there that you're going to go to, God's not in it unless you're willing to start one. You're willing to start one, okay, God could be in it then, say. God could be in it. But you know, maybe God was to lead you out of this area, and there was a good local church, so forth. You know what? When you left this area, would the pastor say, man, I don't know how we're going to get along without him? Boy, what a blessing he's been. What a servant. I don't know how we're going to make it. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to really, really miss him. Or when you left, would it be just business as usual? Things are just keeping on going because, you know, you really weren't involved in ministry. You know, some folks, God saved you that you might be involved in ministering in a local church. And you know what happens to people who are saved and they stop growing is they're not giving diligence to being in the ministry. They're not giving diligence to growing in the Lord. They're sidetracked. Oh, maybe they get hurt along the way. Maybe somebody disappoints them. They get their eyes off of Jesus and they get their eyes on some fellow Christian. Maybe the pastor doesn't seem to understand them. I remember I don't know if you've ever had this, Pastor, but I used to say to people, you know, Pastor, you just don't understand. I don't know if you ever had people say that. Well, you just don't understand. And you know, those people that said that is amazing. They weren't giving all diligence to grow in the Lord because they were letting me and my not understanding cause them to stop growing in the Lord, giving diligence to growing in the Lord. Folks, listen. The devil wants you to stop growing the Lord. And he wants you to get sidetracked. Take a job that takes you away from church. Take a job that, isn't going to be that which will enable you really come and hear God's word and grow in the Lord. He wants to distract you from growing. He wants to get you hurt. He wants some friend to get in your life that will drag you down and whisper in your ear and criticize and tear down. He wants you to stop growing in the Lord. See, he doesn't want you to give diligence to growing in the Lord. Bible says all diligence. In other words, that's your priority. What's your priority in life? Is it to grow spiritually? You see, people stop growing when they lose the priority of growing spiritually in their life. Of growing spiritually in their life. I'll never forget one time. You know, I was in Harlan, Iowa, and I was in this farming community. I was raised in a farming area. I just know a little about gardening or farming. I just wasn't raised that way. And so this guy in the church there, he's a friend of mine, he said, hey, Gary, why don't we have a garden together? I said, sure, that sounds good. You know, I love garden vegetables. I really do. I enjoy them. And so he said, okay. And so we got a little plot of land from one of the farmers in the church just outside of town a little bit. And we were going to, grow some vegetables there. We planted some tomatoes, plants. And we planted other seeds there to have a garden. Well, this guy was an evangelist, and he was in our church. And he took off for a few weeks. Came back after a few weeks and he said, how's the garden going? I said, well, I don't know. I haven't been out there. You haven't been out there? No, I didn't know you had to get out there and weed it and, take care of it like that. I just thought you plant a garden and you, after a few weeks you go back and you get the fruit from it. Oh, I said, I haven't been out there. And he said, you haven't been out there? Let's go try to find it, he said. I'll never forget driving out there. On this old country road out there. And we drove up and down the road. I said, I think it was over here, wasn't it? Somewhere in there. And weeds growing up and everything else. We finally got out and we went through. And there were some old shriveled up plants. And you know what? There was just no fruit. You know why? I didn't give any diligence to taking care of the garden. Let me tell you something. Is the fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance coming out of your life? Is it? Oh, dear friend, when you stop giving all diligence to growing, you know what? The fruit can be the fruit of the flesh. the fruit can be far from love and temperance and peace and joy. I mean, you're just not having the fruit because you've stopped giving all diligence to growing. That's a relationship that people can have, the spiritual growing. There are probably people like that who have that relationship in their life right this very night. You have stopped growing. Oh, once you were really giving diligence, once you were taking those steps of faith, but you've kind of slacked off. You've kind of gotten lazy about it. And you've kind of gotten distracted. Even good things have distracted you. You know, the devil doesn't always use bad things. Sometimes he uses good things to keep us from growing. A computer, he can use a good thing like a computer. You spend time in the computer more than reading your Bible. You know, you can let good things come into your life that distract you from giving all diligence to growing spiritually in your life. Then there's another relationship. If we're going to have revival, we need a revival growing in our churches. That's what we really need. We need to get back to growing in the Lord. We need to get back to being diligent to grow in the Lord. You know, folks, you know why you need to be diligent to grow in the Lord now? Because you don't grow in heaven. You're not going to grow in the Lord up in heaven. This is growing season down here on the earth. This is the time we grow. And you know something? It's very important that you give diligence to growing in the Lord as a Christian. Because in Revelation 19, the Bible tells us our clothes are going to reveal for all eternity in heaven whether or not we grew spiritually. We're not all going to look alike in heaven. Revelation chapter 19, you can read it. It was given to her. She was granted to be robed in fine linen, the Bible says. And the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. The righteous acts of the saints. I'll never forget my first college graduation, man. I remember I was sitting there as a young guy, and all of a sudden, here comes these guys marching down with these black robes on. Big, long black robes. They got these, you know, things on their head. And, you know, some guys came down there, and they didn't have anything in their black robe. But, boy, there's one guy that came down, and he had this thing pinned on him, you know. And another guy came down, he had this thing draped all over him, big old thing, you know, draped all over him. And I said, what's that? Well, that means that guy, you know, the black robe, he just graduated. He just made it through, you know, he just skin and teeth, graduated. He kind of goofed off, you know, he went to the snack shack log, didn't study much. Just to get by, you know. And so he's just got this black robe on. But that guy with the, he graduated cum laude. He was diligent to study. He stayed out of that snack shop all the time, and he really applied himself. And then here's this guy, magna cum laude. They've got things all over him. You see, folks, I'm going to tell you something. We're going to graduation day. We're just getting close to graduation day. We're going home to glory. It's important that you don't get lazy. The matter of being committed to growing spiritually. Making it your priority in life. Not to make money, not to have things in possession, but to grow spiritually. In your home as a dad, in your church, to grow spiritually. Because our clothes are going to reveal for all eternity whether we were diligent to grow after we got saved. Whether we were diligent to grow after we got saved. The fourth relationship to spiritual growing that people can have, and that is growing abnormally. Boy, this is really a heartbreak when things grow abnormally. Have you ever seen somebody, you know, come in the world and they were born in the world and maybe they didn't have an arm? I know there was one young lady I'm thinking of up in New Hampshire, and you know, she doesn't have an arm. I mean, it's just a little stub right here. And, you know, it's a heartache when you see that. And very, very touching your heart. I mean, we had a guy down the street from us. You know, when I was in evangelism and we were living on DuBois Avenue, or actually it was Sunset Lane, right down the street. There was a guy by the name of Tom, and his head was just huge. And the rest of his body really small, growing abnormally. And you know something? That happens to Christians. Christians begin to grow abnormally. Why is that? because they stop giving diligence to growing in the Lord. And when you stop giving diligence to reading your Bible and prayer and being in God's house and dealing with sin and walking in the Spirit, all of a sudden sin can come into your life. All of a sudden decisions are made in the flesh that begin to wreak havoc on the children. You know, teenagers' lives are often ruined because of the abnormal growth of their parents spiritually. They stop growing abnormally. Staying out of church. Dropping ministry in the church. Not reading their Bible. Hanging on the wrong crowd. And they start growing abnormally. I'll never forget, I was in Ohio preaching the Word of God, and there was a man there. He was there almost every service. In fact, I think he was there every service. And I was talking to him one night at the service. I said, "Oh, it's so good to have you here, brother. Appreciate you coming." And I said, "Are you married?" Because I hadn't seen his wife. He said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "But my wife left me. We've been married 46 years. Think of that. 46 years they've been married. I mean, that's a long time. And you know, he said, my wife and I were just really serving the Lord so faithfully. And we were really involved in ministry. He said, you know, we would, every summer they would have a fair. And we'd go, my wife and I, we had a table. And we'd go and we'd set up this table. We'd have gospel tracts in the table. And we'd give out gospel tracts at the fair. But he said, you know, my wife left me for another man. Here's a lady. I mean, boy, she was really growing there for a while, wasn't she? I mean, she was really growing. I mean, wanting to serve the Lord like that. Go to a hot, sweaty fair and stand there and pass out tracts. What happened to that lady? I'll tell you what happened. She stopped giving diligence to growing. And pretty soon she began to grow abnormally. My friend, that's abnormal to leave your husband. That's abnormal. That is growing abnormally. And folks, I tell you something. Are you growing abnormally? Are there things in your life that used to never be there? I mean, are there attitudes that have come into your life that are attitudes of ungodly thinking? Are there attitudes? You know why? Because you're growing abnormally. You've stopped giving all diligence to growing spiritually. And you know, when you do that, it's going to affect you. And abnormal things are going to begin to come into your life. Do you need to get back to growing normally? Do you need to get back to growing normally? I'll tell you how to do it. Get back to being diligent to be in church. Get back to being diligent to read your Bible. Get back to being diligent to deal with sin. Oh, tonight, there are Christians here that need to repent of the abnormal things that have come into your life and get back to growing normally for the sake of your children, for the sake of the cause of Christ, for the sake of the influence that you have. You need to get back to growing the way you ought to be growing, and to repent of the abnormal things that have come into your life, TV programs and I don't know what all, and you know, habits have come back. Some of the, you know, I mean, as a Christian, you can still do any old sin that is possible to do out there. And I'll tell you, you stop growing, I'll tell you what, you can go out, you can leave your wife, you can leave your husband. You could. Not a one of us are. There's not a one in this building that doesn't have that potential. I don't care how long you've been married. You stop giving all diligence to growing. And I tell you, some abnormal things can come into your life. In the book of Luke, chapter 13, the Bible tells us about a tree that was growing abnormally. It wasn't bearing any fruit. That's abnormal. Trees are, fig trees are you know, planted to bear fruit, to bear figs. And the one that owns that fig tree comes to it, and there's no fruit. And for 3 years, there was no fruit. That was abnormal. And the guy says to the guy that's keeping it for him, he says, "Listen, cut that tree down. It's not bearing any fruit whatsoever." And you know what? The caretaker says, "Listen, let's give it one more year. Let's give it one more year. Just I'll work on it, and I'll try to irrigate it, and let's give it one more year, and it might start bearing fruit. And the owner of the tree said, okay, we'll give it one more year, but if it doesn't start bearing fruit after that one year, take it down. You see, God is very serious about you growing spiritually. Very serious. And if you're going to continue to grow abnormally, I want to tell you something. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes, because there is a sin unto death. God could just say, okay, you are not serious about this matter of growing spiritually. I'm just going to take you home because you're influencing so many people the wrong way. I'm just going to take you home. Oh, folks, tonight, do you need to repent of some abnormality that's gotten in your life because you've stopped giving diligence, all diligence to growing in the Lord? Lastly, the fifth relationship to spiritual growing that a person can have is the relationship of continually growing. That's revival. Revival is when we're continually growing in the Lord. That's continual. You know, I have not arrived. If you're saved, you haven't arrived. You haven't gotten to a place where you don't need to grow more. We are continually in need of growing in the Lord, taking steps of faith and growing in the Lord, trusting God, going through trials and yielding to the Lord. Trials are a way of growing in the Lord and how we handle them. And, you know, that's the way that we grow in the Lord. And you know what? We're to be continually growing. We're to be continually growing. You know, you need the local church more and more. You know, I don't care how long you've been saved. I've been saved 58 years, folks. I need to be in church more than ever. I haven't arrived the way I can say, oh, wow, I've been saved 58 years and I've gone to church. I'm going to stay home for prayer meeting now. Well, I'm going to stay home. I'll just come to Sunday night service now and then. I tell you what, that's not continually growing. You will not continually grow when you absent yourself and excuse yourself from the regularly scheduled services of a local New Testament church. Listen, there is a relationship that you need to have continual revival going on in your life. And this is the relationship of continually growing. Now, why is a person able to continually grow? Number one, they're saved. They can grow. They're saved. And number two, because they have kept it and have it as a priority in their life to grow in the Lord. Hey, is it a priority in your life to grow in the Lord? Well, you know what? There's a little test you can take to see if it is a priority. Because if it is a priority of growing the Lord in your life, there's some things that you're adding to your faith. You're adding to your life spiritually. There's some things that you're continually adding to your life. And they're listed for us there. The Bible says the first thing you're adding to your life, if you are really giving all priority to growing the Lord, you're adding, the Bible says there, in verse number five, the Bible says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. You're adding moral excellence to your life. In other words, you know, you're just adding purity and adding to your life, getting out of your life things that are hindering your growth in the Lord. You're purifying your life. You're taking out of your life things and that are hindering your growth in the Lord. As the Lord shows you that, hey, this thing is really hindering me in my growth for the Lord. I remember a guy came to me one time and he said, Brother Gilmore, he said, here's my pipe, you know. He thought he could continue to smoke it, you know, and be all right. He'd be a good testimony. And he came in my office one day. He laid it on my desk. He said, here's my pipe. And he said, I don't want any more. Well, I said, I don't want it either, you know. And so we took that pipe, and you know what? We threw the trash can. Because he said, you know, I've come to realize that I can't really be a witness for Jesus Christ when I've got this thing in my life. I tried to witness a friend of mine. And, you know, he said, why would I want what you've got when you smoke just like I smoke? And he realized that, hey, to grow in the Lord, he needed to get rid of some. You know what? When you're growing the Lord continually, you're continually in your life, you are purging from your life things that are not helping you to grow spiritually. You're purging from your life things that aren't helping. You know, I remember a certain thing that my wife and I said, hey, you know, we got to stop. It's not helping us. We got to change this. And we got rid of it. I want to grow in moral excellence. I want to grow in purity. I want to be clean. God uses clean vessels, amen? He uses clean vessels, not dirty vessels. So you're growing in the matter of moral excellence. If it's all priority, that is what you're adding in your life, moral excellence. And it goes on to mention other things there. Look at them very quickly. It says knowledge. Knowledge is doing what you know to do. See, that's how you grow. You're doing what you know to do. And you have a desire to do what you know. You hear the word of God and you want to apply it to your life. And you're doing what you know. You're growing in knowledge, not just head knowledge, but it's a knowledge of applying what you know to your life. And you're taking the word of God that you're preached and you're putting it in your life. See, it's what is happening if you're giving all priority. And then it goes on to say temperance. What's that? That means God controlling your life. No longer self-control, but you're letting God take control of your life, your words, your actions. You're letting God take control of things in your life, your music, the way you dress. You're letting God take control of these things. And then the Bible says you're adding these things to your life if it's a priority to grow in the Lord. And you're adding patience. That means you're not quitting. You're not complaining. You're not giving up. You know, others may quit. Your wife may bail out. Your husband may bail out. But you're not going to do it. You're not going to quit. You're not going to stop. You're going to keep on following the Lord. You're not going to be a quitter. And so you just grow in patience and you just keep on. Endurance is the word there. That's what it means. Enduring. You're enduring trials. And you're saying, God, I don't know what you're doing here, but I'm just going to trust you in it. You got a purpose. You got a plan. I'm trusting you. Say, you're growing in that attitude. That attitude, if you're growing in the Lord, is present in your life. Say, that's what's being added to your life. If it's a priority of growing, it's being added. And then it goes on to say, also godliness. You're adding godliness to your life. What is godliness? It's living to please the Lord. You're living to please Him. You're living that He might be pleased. You're wanting to please Him, and His eyes are what you're concerned about, what He sees, and the way He sees something. You are growing in godliness when it's all priority. When you're giving priority to growing the Lord, you're growing in godliness. And then the Bible goes on to say also brotherly kindness, wanting to be a blessing, wanting to be around Christians, wanting to encourage other Christians. It says there, growing in brotherly kindness. You know, these are things you're adding. You're not subtracting from your life. You're adding these things to your life. Notice what else it says there. Lastly, and charity, that's love. It's, my friend, going to be true of your life if it's all priority you're giving to growing. You're loving your wife more than ever. You're loving your husband more than ever. You're loving your kids more than ever. You're loving your preacher more than ever. You're loving your church more than ever. You're loving the Bible more than ever. I mean, if you are really making a priority to grow, you are adding this matter of love. It's a love that's just reaching out and it's growing. Your love is growing. You know, my wife has said this to me. She says, honey, I love you more than I ever have. We've been married 48 years. I love you more than I ever have. You're the best looking. You look better than you ever have. You know? And I'll tell you something, my friend. You know, my wife saying she loves me more than she ever had. I mean, after 40 years, she knows all my faults. She knows how imperfect I am. And yet, she says she loves me more than she ever has. And you know what? I know that I'm no knockout when it comes to looks, you know. I mean, I got wrinkles and I got, you know, all kinds of blemishes on me. And yet, she says, you're better looking than you ever have. You know why? Because I got a wife, praise God, that is giving all priority to growing. And when you're giving all priority to growing, you're adding love. I mean, you're adding love. You know, I really believe the trouble of most marriages is husbands left their first love for their wives. Why have they left that first love? Because they stopped giving all priority to growing. Why are you lukewarm spiritually? You've stopped giving all priority to growing.
Why are you filled with complaints and gripes? Because you've stopped giving all priority to growing. Dear friend, I'll tell you something. What's your relationship to growing? What's the purpose of growing? What's the purpose of spiritually growing? Is it to walk around saying, look at me, I'm some great magnanimous Christian. I'm really somebody. No, the purpose of growing is that Jesus Christ may be seen in our life, that he may come out of our lives. And people would say, you know, there's something different that fellow has at work. And they'll come up and they'll start asking you about it. You know, I'm always glad when someone says, you know, I thought you were a Christian when I start witnessing to them. You know, sometimes I've been in barbershops and start with, oh, I thought you were. You know, I want something to come out of me that without saying a word, you know, not saying that we shouldn't say a word, we should. But I want, you know, there to be a radiance about my life. I want people to see Jesus in my life. You know what? If that's going to be so, you know what? We got to give all priority to growing in the Lord. You know, maybe the reason why you're not giving all priority is because you're really not saved. I remember there was a young boy in the church and you know, he would sit in the back row and he was not interested too much in the things of the Lord, and his attitude was rotten, and he was just a guy that everybody wondered whether he was saved. He claimed to be saved. And so this boy went off to camp, and he was under the preaching of the Word of God, and he's there having that camp food and, you know, away from all the worldly distractions and stuff. And he's just, you know, there, and he's hearing the preaching of the Bible. And you know what? He comes home, and he walks up to his pastor. He says, Pastor, can I say a word of testimony to the people? Pastor said, I would almost fall over. I never would have thought that that boy would ever want to give up and give a testimony before all the people. And the pastor said, sure. Boy gets up there and he says, folks, I'm going to tell you something that you probably thought anyway. I was never really saved. He said, but this week I got saved. I trusted Christ my Savior. And he said, the reason why I know I'm saved is because for the first time in my life, I really want to be like Jesus. Amen. I really want to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. All I ask, to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, all I ask, to be like him. That's the purpose of growing, folks. To be like Jesus. To bring glory and honor. To attract a lost and dying world to the Savior. Oh, what's your relationship to growing tonight spiritually? Are you in need of revival of growing in your life spiritually? Time is short. Our Savior's coming. The time to grow is here. We don't grow up in heaven. We grow here. This is growing season. Are you growing? Or maybe you need to get back to growing in the Lord. Give you the priority. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Oh, Lord, please, please just do a work in our hearts, Lord. Revive our growing spiritually. Revive our growing spiritually, Lord. Lord, help us to continually see that we need to grow more. To continually see that we're not where we ought to be, Lord. That we need to take steps of growth in our life spiritually. We need to take steps of faith. Lord, show us things that need to change if we're going to be growing continually. Lord, I pray that you'd help people who have let some abnormalities get in their life because they've stopped giving diligence to growing. Lord, help them to repent of those abnormalities and to get back to giving all diligence to growing while they still can do it. And Lord, where their influence can become a positive thing rather than a negative thing in their homes, their families, in the community, in the church. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to give all diligence to growing. Never to stop giving diligence, Lord. Oh, don't let's get lazy. Don't let us, Lord, get sidetracked from growing spiritually. Father, I pray if there be those in our midst who are not able to grow because they've never received the Savior. Oh, may this be the night when they say, I want to be saved. And Lord, you'll give them that ability to grow spiritually. And Father, I just pray it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around.